Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt lost? Surely at some point in your life, you experienced what it means to feel lost. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Maybe, like me, you tend not to use maps when you drive. When I first moved to Honolulu, I found it very difficult to find my home from Ala Moana Boulevard because the streets that enter onto Ala Moana Boulevard do not enter squarely as they ought. And I remember looking at the map, the Mapsco map, and saying, I know it's right here. And I would get so mad because I would keep driving right past Bethel Street over and over again. And we would end up out at Walmart or out at Costco or whatever, and I'd turn around. It's so frustrating. Or maybe you know people who have been lost in the throes of addiction, or poverty, or who have been lost because of a broken relationship. You can all either experience yourself or know someone who has experienced what it means to be lost. But we also know the experience of being found. Do you remember when you were a child, the first time you got lost? You know how a dog is? A dog doesn't have self-awareness for the most part. And so if you hold a mirror up to the dog, they'll bark like crazy. And you take the mirror away, and it's like they've disappeared. Or if you go out of the room, I used to have a dog. She was fine when you were in the room, but as soon as you left the room and you came back, it was as if you were never there. So she would bark when you first came into the room, and you would leave the room for 30 seconds, and as soon as you walk back in, not glad to see me. Just not bright. But you know what it means to be found as well. That incredible feeling of relief and of joy when the lostness gives way to joy of being found. We have both of those experiences in every part of our lives. And today Jesus talks about what it means to be both lost and found. And the images of sheep, and as Pastor Don reminded me, most of you probably don't have a lot of experience with sheep. So there's not a lot of sheep here. But sheep, you know how they are. They're kind of dumb. And they're generally wandering around the open countryside. And in this improbable story, Jesus says, which of you would not, having 100 sheep, leave the 99 to go find the one lost? Well, which of you wouldn't do that? Would you leave the 99 to go find the one dumb sheep who can't seem to stay with the crowd? Now you righteous ones are going, well, of course I would, because I know how this parable ends. But in real life, you would never do that. And Jesus knows we wouldn't do it, right? We're not going to leave the 99 to go find the one. And so when Jesus sits down with those tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees look at him and say, who is he that he would do this? Become unclean, unholy. Because remember, by sitting down and touching and eating with those defiled people, those people who are unacceptable, Jesus himself becomes defiled. This rabbi, this holy man, this teacher becomes undefiled for those people. And Jesus says to those who are gathered, the Pharisees, which of you would not do this? And the answer is, of course, none of us. We wouldn't, most of us. So he tells them that parable, and as they think about that parable, imagine the sense of what it means to be lost. You see, I think the challenge of this text is that the author is trying to draw us into the idea of God's grace. Those unrepentant ones, those unrighteous ones, it's a technical term. It's not just those people who are sort of just a little behind on their good works. The ones who maybe forgot to do a sacrifice. These people are the ones who habitually are separated from God. They are truly lost. And yet they're the ones with whom Jesus breaks bread. The religious figures know you got to stick with the righteous, right? I mean, after all, think about how the church is. Who do we spend most of our time and effort and money on? The church people, right? The good people. In a conversation that I had, we brought up that fact that, in fact, we spend most of our time and effort, as Jesus points out, on the righteous. But Christ goes after the lost, the one, the unacceptable, the outcast. It's a powerful witness that challenges our model of religion. See, I think what happens is that we lose the witness that happens when we read Scripture. Think about that wonderful story in the Old Testament where Moses has gone up into the mountain to receive the law, the basis of religion. And what do the people do? When the prophet's away, the people will play. They build the calf. They have a party. They're having a great time. And as Moses is coming down the mountain, God says, oh, these stiff-necked people. I love that. I think we should get a t-shirt made. Right? On the front, Lutheran Church of Honolulu. And on the back, a thoroughly stiff-necked people. Rejoicing in grace. So God's coming down, and Moses is coming down, and God says, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill them all. They have put me away, right? And so here's God coming down, and God's going to destroy all the people, and Moses says, God, wait a minute. What will the people of Egypt think? Moses appeals to God's self-image, right? You know, you don't want the Egyptians to think, yep, there's that Yahweh, that God, led those people out into the desert to do exactly what we said he would. Murdered them all. Don't follow that God. And God says, fine, Moses. God says, fine, God. Remember God, this religious God, this immutable, unchangeable, never changing, always steady, old man sitting in a chair, God with a thunderbolt in his hand, a cross between Zeus and Yahweh. That very God is the one who says, I will change my mind. I will not do this thing. God's grace overflows. And remember Paul, who was the worst of the worst of the worst when it came to being a persecutor of the Christians. For all religious purposes, Paul should have been kicked out. But Paul becomes the great champion of grace. God chases after the one because in finding the one, the world is transformed. God isn't working on religion. God is working on faith. What Jesus proposes on that day with the stories of the 10 coins and the lost sheep is a radical transformation of lives. I think in many ways Christ is throwing out the religious principles and proposing an anti-religious model. A model based on a God who would hang himself on a cross to find you. To drape you over God's shoulders and carry you home. It's a very different God than the God of traditional religion. It's a very different God than who I think the Pharisees thought of that day. And so Jesus sits down with publicans and sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and common people and unclean and clean and gathers them into the grace of God and feeds us, that motley crowd, that stiff-necked people, with the food of grace. Then not only are we transformed, but the world is transformed because God will find the one. God has already found you. And that truly is God's amazing grace, that God leaves the 99 to find us and the world in love. Amen.